All right, so we are in part three of this series called Purpose. You probably don't need review, but I'll review anyway because I think it helps me and it helps you to catch up where we're at. I was inspired by a thought of something that I thought we would never have in our house, and maybe we'll go out and get one now, and maybe you'll go out and get one of those signs from craft stores that look something like this. And this one is in order of the order we're doing it in, live, love, and laugh. Now, some of them say live, laugh, and love. Doesn't really matter. I don't care what you get. You don't even have to get one. But now, every time you see a country sign, I want you to think that three of these things are what we talked about here in church about our purpose, okay? So first we said live. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, and we said that our purpose, you were created by God to live, like you were created to give God glory. And so according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, simple stuff, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And one of the things that I felt like that the Lord has been impressing on me through this series and through other things that we've been doing, keep it simple. You know how simple that is? Maybe not always be easy, but it's clear. Everything you do, give God glory, okay? And we've been talking about how do you do that? What are the ways that you do that? And we were talking, we gave you the an idea of a cell phone, right? The primary purpose of a cell phone is to make calls. And it does a whole bunch of other things. It has a calendar, it has a calculator, it has a notebook, it has a flashlight, it has all sorts of things. But here's the cool thing, or the interesting thing is, if you have one of those things, and it stops making calls, you don't keep it for those other things. Oh, well, I'll just get three of those. No, you just go out and get another one because its primary purpose failed, okay? But while it's fulfilling its primary purpose with the calling, it does all those other things as well. And our primary purpose is to glorify God. If we stop doing that, these other things don't matter as much. But as long as we're glorifying God, we can glorify God while we're a calculator, right? While we're a calendar, right? You can glorify God while you're eating, while you're drinking, while you're driving. Everything you do can help you fulfill that one purpose in which you were made to glorify God. And in the biggest way that we fulfill those purposes, the second slide, and we talked about that, about love. We love God with all of our heart, and we give glory to Him. Say hi to Lauren. She doesn't like to be embarrassed. I didn't even give her permission. I didn't get her permission to embarrass her today. Sorry. Now I ask for forgiveness later this afternoon. It's nice to have her home from college. And so here's the thing. We keep her dog while she's gone. It's not a family dog. It's a Lauren dog. It doesn't like me. It just puts up with me. It's mutual. I just put up with him too, right? Every now and then he will sit on my lap. But when she came home, literally, he fell down three times trying to get to her. He couldn't even stand up. He was so excited. That dog loves Lauren, right? With all his heart, his little bitty heart, right? He got a little bitty brain, too, I'm just saying. I plant that seed in your mind because that's the way we should love God. Excitement with all of our heart. And the way we love God is we love people. You know that? The Bible says if you don't love people, you might need to question your love for God. And so your purpose is to love God and love people. Love. Your purpose. You are made to love. And God is love. And when He created us, that's what He wants us to do. And so that's what we talked about a little bit. My wife bought a t-shirt. I tried to put it on here, see if it's on here, Matt. She bought a t-shirt from Mollenkamp's and from Sunshine Boutique in Fort Recovery. And here's what it says. I'll read it to you. It says this: smile at a stranger. Say thank you for small things. Send a card for no reason. Hug a friend twice. Compliment the next person you see. Listen with all your heart. Love your people in a big way. Do all the good you can. And share your light with others. Isn't that great? That's what we can do. Just make it simple. Love people. As I was thinking about the biblical illustration, the story that Jesus told that we used last week about loving, I just thought I better say this again because maybe I wasn't as clear. I really want to be clear. In the story of the Good Samaritan, it starts out this way. I don't have it up on screen, but it starts out this way. Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. That's it. Right? We don't know if the man was tall or short. We don't know if he was handicapped or healthy. We don't know if he was good or bad. We don't know if he was nice or grumpy. We don't know his background. We don't know if he has normal behavior. Right? You know, we put people in boxes, right? That guy's not normal. We don't know that. He may have been normal. He may not have been normal. We don't know what he does for work or even if he works at all. And that's the point that Jesus is trying to make. As created beings, we are called to love, period. Isn't that cool that Jesus is such a great teacher? Our purpose is to give God glory in everything we do, and the number one way to do that is to love. And when we love and when we give God glory, we join creation. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now today I'm going to give us what I think really is a purpose for which we are made. And probably one of the hardest ones to talk about because it's been so painted in a negative light by people who don't understand. And that is, if we can go back to the illustration really quick, we're made to live, we are made to love, and then today I want to talk about this one. We were made to labor or work. I know that doesn't sound all that wonderful, but it is wonderful. Because it is the way that God made us, and we're talking about our purpose. And when you can understand your purpose, I'm going to get ahead of me for just a moment, get ahead of the lesson. But if we can put up the other one, next week we're going to talk about laugh or joy. When we start to understand that we are made to glorify God, live for Him, love other people, and labor, we are going to find joy in life. And we're going to talk about that next week when we wrap up this series. I want you to know here today that I have to give this little disclaimer, and I hope that you understand this most of the time, even though I don't say it. I won't say ever, but almost never do I have one of you in mind when I preach a sermon. In other words, I don't go, man, they really need to hear this. I don't do that. That would wear me out. You know, I don't do that. So if you think I'm preaching to you today or any time, that's not me. I do not have your name in my notes. It didn't cross my mind. I might pray for you, but I don't preach at you. We're all in this together, okay? So if you find yourselves today unemployed, not working, you've never worked, whatever, this is for all of us, okay? So here's the thing I want you to know first right off the bat. I'm not addressing this sermon to those of us or we or whoever who are not working. I want to address that today for those of us who are and remind us why we work. We live in a chaotic world, and your world where you work is probably chaotic, right? Maybe where you work there's a worker shortage. You're like, man, we just need more help, right? But you're there, right? Maybe where you work, you've been hearing on TV, there's strikes going on right now in various aspects of our economy. And maybe you like it, maybe you don't. Maybe you're right there and you're like, man, I wish we weren't striking. Or maybe I'm happy we're striking. But the point is, you're there. You're a worker. Maybe there's been layoffs or restructuring. Our daughter, Jacqueline, they just made $1.5 million reduction at their work, which meant a whole bunch of people lost their job from Wednesday to Thursday. Now, she didn't, but it's still stressful because now she's going to have more work, potentially a different supervisor, you know. But she's there. you're there, right? Maybe you're working overtime, or maybe they've cut hours. Maybe you're in between transitions at work or between jobs or whatever. Here's the thing. We are called to be godly and continue to live according to his principles again, period, right? Period. And so we are in such a crazy economy right now. It's really quite interesting to talk about and sometimes confusing. But I want you to know, if you are working today, I say thank you. Because some of you are at places where you feel appreciated, and some of you are at places where no one cares, or it seems like no one cares, right? You just feel like you're a number, you're being taken advantage of. But you need to know, you need to know that you are laboring. It's part of your purpose. And if you can hear it from me, I say thank you. But you know what? God says thank you, because he created you with those abilities. And so I'm not scolding anyone here who has found themselves on unemployment or anything like that. That happens, right? But let me just say something about being paid for not working, okay? It's not good for our country. It's not good for our economy. But it's certainly not good for the individual, because you were created to work. And when someone pays you not to work, it takes away part of your purpose. And that really is the bottom line. It's not so much about the money or no money or how much money. It's really that when you don't work, you and let me define work here in just a minute, okay? I'm not just talking about going out for a paycheck, okay? But when you don't work, when you don't labor, when you aren't creative, when you're not doing something, you won't feel fulfilled, because God created you to do that. Now, let me just say something about this work. If you are retired, watch this. You retired from work. So if you never worked, you can't call yourself retired. But I'm here to applaud you, because if you are retired, you worked. You got me? Now, you may not be working for the man now, right? But you worked, right? If you are a stay-at-home parent, you're a worker. All right? We understand that, right? So when I say labor today or work today, I'm including you, right? Maybe you have a part-time job, or maybe you're a volunteer. I'm volunteering for this stuff here in town. Listen, it's work, right? Phone calls and meetings and all sorts of stuff. But some of you are like that, right? You don't get a paycheck now, but you work, right? There's stuff that you do. Volunteering, different vocations, parenting, even grandparent is work. Can I get an amen? Wait a minute, your grandkids are in here. I'm sorry I put you on the spot. Okay. But thank you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, thank you for your work. It's part of our purpose. But we live in a world, we live in a society here right now where it has been given a bad name. Things like, it's a necessary evil. Evil? Pretty strong, but have you heard it? Has someone said that to you? Well, work is just a necessary evil. And there's so many people that if that's what they believe, no wonder they hate their jobs, right? If you went every day to something that you just thought was a necessary evil, no wonder you're not happy. No wonder you're not fulfilled. And so I hope today that wherever you are, whether it's at home or a factory or you got your own business or whatever you're doing, whether it's something on the side or volunteer, stay-at-home mom, I want to give you a better perspective today and encourage you that we can glorify God wherever you are. And that is what's so awesome about God. Because no matter where you find yourself, it may be the job, your dream job, you know, it may not be. It may be the nightmare job. But you can glorify God where you're at. Let me just address, it's kind of like the elephant in the room. We have a younger generation that some of you are going like, I know, they just don't like to work, and that's why we have our problems, because the younger people won't work. Let me just give you a little perspective on that. The generation that's called the millennials were born in 81 to 96, which would make them 27 to 42. So if you're a millennial today, you may or may not agree with this. I'm just telling you what others are saying about your group. Then generation Z is from 11 years old to about 27. So anywhere, I'm talking about people anywhere from about 12 years old to about 42 years old. So it's a big gap. But let me just share with you some insights that you may help you bring some perspectives, and that is this. Gallup just released, now keep in mind, we're talking about people who could be 42, so they've been studying these people now for a while. This wasn't just like yesterday they rang them up and got their opinions. This is like a couple decades of study. We think millennials don't want to work, but here's what the millennials are telling us. They don't want to work for a paycheck. They want a purpose. And isn't that what I'm saying right now? So here's the thing. Many of us grew up that the paycheck was the purpose. Like, you know, it doesn't matter what we do. As long as I get money, then I can go do my purposes. Then I can fulfill my dreams. Then I can go on the weekends. The millennials are saying this. Yeah, we have purpose too. But we don't. It doesn't end at the paycheck. And so we have this gap of communication. And I'm trying to close the gap here today to say, you know, the young people who you say don't want to work might be more like you than you think. But because we all want a purpose in life. But here's the good news about the gospel. Here's the good news about what I'm saying today. No matter who signs your paycheck, and now I'm kind of talking to the younger people, but I want you all to listen. No matter who signs your paycheck, no matter if you found your perfect job yet or not, listen to this. If you work for the Lord, you have a purpose. So if you're 12, you better not be working yet. If you're 18, 28, and you're like, I'm just not in my dream job yet, it'll come. And even if it doesn't, you have purpose. You don't have to wait for that place to fulfill your purpose. You have a purpose. Your purpose is to work for the Lord. Second thing they tell us about millennials is they're not necessarily looking for job satisfaction. They're looking for development. And so what happened was, a few years ago, all these job places tried to tempt workers to come, and they were putting like ping pong tables in the break room, and they were giving out free coffee and cappuccinos and longer breaks and stuff. Come to find out that didn't work, because these people weren't really looking for that kind of satisfaction. They wanted development. And what they felt like is they weren't being developed. They were just being used. And if you are a person who's running a business, if you would just invest in people, you might find that would help. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. If you're in that age group and you don't feel like they're developing you at work, we're developing you here. The gospel is all about development. It's called discipleship. And, you know, the church is at the heart of developing people, developing our spirit, developing our soul, and developing our body. So you may not be getting that at work yet, but you come to church, join a Sunday school class, you know, get Christian friends, have a Bible study. It's all about development. Anybody arrived yet? Say no. I'm saying no to the younger people. I've not arrived yet. It's all about development. He's still working on me to make me what I want to be. Remember that song? Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and moon and all that. Right? Well, it's about development. So it may not be happening at work. You can join a church. It's happening here. Millennials, and here's the third thing I want to mention. They say millennials don't want bosses. They want coaches. And you're like, oh, well, they just want passing on back. No. What they want is someone not to be authoritative and just telling them what they ought to do. But it's out of that development. It's out of helping them find value, helping them to develop as people, and so on and so forth. And you say, well, I'm not sure about that at the workplace. Don't worry about the workplace right now. Listen to this. Once again, the church is created to be coaches. We come alongside people. We don't lord it over them, right? We help them. Pastors are coaches. Sunday school teachers are coaches. Elders are coaches. We're all here together to build a team. And so right now, if you're not finding it at work, you can find it here at the church. What I'm trying to say is this. Working for God, wherever you are, fits all generations, all situations, all eras, all times. No matter your age, your job, no matter if you're at the top or you're at an entry level, if you work for God, you have a purpose to glorify God in all that you do. This principle is found throughout the whole scriptures. It really is. But I want to give you one today for us to focus on. And it's really highlighted in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 through about 24. And the Apostle Paul is addressing a particular work setting. And it's this. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. This is where this particular verse comes from, right? In a work setting. Whatever you do. That makes sense? I don't like my job. I'm sorry. Whatever you do. Right? Well, I'm only going to be here for 6 more months. Whatever you do. Well, my boss isn't that nice to me. Whatever you do. Right? Well, I feel like I need a promotion. Whatever you do. Right? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. As we're working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, because it is the Lord Christ you are serving. This passage is about work. It's about labor. And really, it's about finding ourselves in situations that really aren't the best. All right? So let me talk about that for just a moment. I don't want to gloss over slavery here. The Roman Empire, slavery was a fact of life. It was very varied. A person who was called a slave, they could be treated well, like almost like a family member, or they could be treated poorly. It kind of just depends on where they found themselves and the heart of the master, which is interesting because Paul preaches to masters too in these settings. The labor that these slaves did could range anywhere from like what we might call hard labor, you know, like I don't know, physical labor, all the way to tutoring, bookkeeping, estate managing. I mean, you know, even handling the money. You remember the parables that Jesus said, and a master went away and he put his servants in charge. Well, that doesn't sound like they were being mistreated. It sounds like they had a whole lot of responsibility. So it varied. So I'm not here talking about slavery today, but I just want you to know that it varied. But here's what Paul is doing here. He addresses slavery in other passages of Scripture and alludes to the fact that some masters can be bad. But here he's not addressing slavery. And he's not saying, hey, we need to get everybody out of this bad job situation. What he is saying is that if you find yourself in any particular situation, including this, work as to the Lord. And Paul addresses this rather clearly, that it affects us all, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. So in Christ, you all are children of God through faith. Okay? That's all of us here. You're a master, a supervisor, you own your own business, you hire people, or maybe you rely on people to hire you. That's what this passage in Galatians is saying. All of us are children of God. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now listen, don't take this out of context. He's not saying males are females and females are males, and if you know you're not ever a Jew, if you're a Gentile, but no. He's saying in Christ, though, we are all the same when it comes to our purpose. And verse 29 says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So I don't want to gloss over this thing about slavery and but that's just not what Paul was addressing, nor is it what I was addressing. What he's saying is, we who are in the workforce today, most of us, maybe not all of us, most of us probably relate more to the servant than to the master. This setting of hard work, work where we're not appreciated, work where we think we need to be paid more, we're not paid well, Paul reminds us of our purpose. And right in the middle of that, let me bring it up again. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. As for working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Isn't this great? We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about we have a Lord Jesus Christ who's looking down on our daily lives and saying, they're doing it. They're working. And they're working for the Lord. And they're having a good attitude when everyone around them isn't, right? And they're trying to love their enemies or whomever they address, you know. They're doing it. And the Bible says when he looks down, he's keeping track, and there's going to be a reward for those of us who fulfill our purpose in this sphere of labor. You were created to love. I said that last week. And you were created to labor. Let me build a case on that really quick. How do I know that? Because God is a creator. God is a worker. In Genesis chapter 2:2, it says, by the seventh day, God had finished. Look at the word there, work. God is a worker. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. What kind of work? It's a creative work. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, there's this word work there. And that same word work that is given in the Hebrew here is also the same word work that's given throughout the Old Testament for the work that you and I do. God's work and our work, he created us to work because he's a worker. If you knew nothing about God, let's just say you knew nothing about him, and you were given the Bible for the first time, and you started at the beginning with this question, what is God like? The first answer is that he's a worker. Amazing. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. God is a worker, and we are created in his image to labor. Second thing we see is that God ordained work. So if we missed it, right? Like if Adam said, well, why am I here, God? And he missed it, God was clear. I'll show you, Adam, just in case. And in verse 26 of chapter 1, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over work. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it, take care of it. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, he said, go and fill the earth and subdue it. That's indicated in work. We think that God stopped working, but what God really did is delegate it to us. He worked 6 days, showed us how to do it, rested one, and then said, you go do it. You say, what does that look like? Well, you say, it's kind of like in kindergarten and preschool, we set a box of crayons on the table and we say, draw a picture. He provides the crayons, we get to do some stuff, right? And then we get to take that picture to him. And he hangs it on his big old refrigerator. Think of your work like that, right? God, look what I did for you today. And he says, oh, thank you. I'll put that right up here. He said, go do it. We are his image bearers. And it shows up most when we're laboring. When we're working. And it brings meaningful, dignified worship to the things that he's called us to do. Let me just pause here because some of you are reverting only to those of you who are clocking in. This refers to all of us. You clock in as soon as you get up. You clock in as soon as that diaper gets dirty. You clock in, right, as soon as the garden needs weeded. All of us are clocking in somewhere, sometime, every day. Do it all for the glory of God. Now listen, I know sin has impacted these things, right? Sin impacts our work. It makes it harder. It makes it rough sometimes. But we can't confuse that with that work is the bad thing, right? It's hard because of sin, but work isn't the sin, right? God ordained work and labor from the very beginning. And the third thing I want to say about this is when we work, we have an opportunity to model Christ, right? Why? Because he was a worker. Not only was he there at the beginning creating, which we know that, but in Colossians 1, it reminds us of that. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So he is a worker. But listen to this. When he was put on this earth, somehow they could have chosen anything for him to do. He could have been born into a Pharisee's house. He could have been born into a priestly home. right? He could have been born and been raised up in some kind of place where there was no work somehow, whatever. But in Matthew chapter 13 and in Mark chapter 6, it says, isn't this the carpenter's son? Mark 6 is reported the same way. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't that cool? Jesus spent most of his adult life here on earth working. And not just working, but working with his hands. The word that we translate a carpenter is probably broader than that. It probably should be broader. He worked with wood. He most likely worked with stone. He possibly could have even worked with metal. But the point is, he worked. Wouldn't you like to see something that Jesus made? You think it was done well? Done with love, done with care, done with the customer in mind? You think it was a fair transaction? I mean, he didn't just give it away. They had their living. You see, when we work and we do things biblically, we reflect Christ because he was a worker. And then I just need to underscore this. This may not sound good at first, but our work, this idea of labor, this idea of doing things for the Lord, will continue forever. When we get to heaven, and we've talked about this on and off, and we just went through a Sunday school class with the young adults, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and there's going to be work to be done. But then it won't be hindered with sin, and it won't be messy with bosses that don't appreciate it. It'll be pure and wonderful and fulfilling work. And what the point we're trying to make is, if that's the way it's going to be, then let's start practicing it now. It's not easy. Remember I said that a bit? I'm learning this. The things that he's given us, not always easy, but they're simple. Just work for the glory of God. Revelation 21 hints at this. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. The city does not need a sun. It doesn't say there won't be one, but it just says it doesn't need a sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is the lamp. The nations walk by its light, and the kings of earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of nations will be brought into it. Where do you think the glory of nations is going to come from? We're going to produce something. We're going to do things. We're going to create things. We're going to have fun. And it's going to be so fulfilling. We're going to know that one day. But until then, we need to practice giving God glory for the work that he has given us. It's an act of worship. It's to be done with excellence. And it's for the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." You say, well, that just means evangelism and teaching Sunday school. No. It means that everything you do is to be unto the Lord. Paul makes it clear, our very purpose of our lives, one of the main reasons we were created and saved, was not to wait around for eternity, but to do good works here and now for him. You were made to live, made to love. And I hope today we found an opportunity to bring you back into living for the Lord on purpose, because one of your purposes is you were made to labor. Would you stand with us today? Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Our Father, we thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you love us. We thank you have a plan for us. Lord, I do stand here today and I pray for those who are looking for a job. They want to go to a different job. Yes, Lord, guide us, direct us. Some of our kids are searching for vocation. They're searching for a job that fits their gifts and abilities. And Lord, I think you're in on that too. So we pray that you will guide us, direct us, open doors. Help us to be fit well for the work that you've called us to do. But whatever we do, wherever we are, for whatever time, may we work unto the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being a good God that sees us and rewards us for the things that you see as important. And as we go from here today, we also thank you for rest. And we thank you that we can rest in our work because we know that you're the one that we're ultimately working for. And we give you thanks today and praise today. Be with us as we fulfill our purposes in you, what we were created for. In Jesus' name, amen.